1230 AM, W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Israel's begun an expanded ground invasion in Gaza City, the goal of wiping out Hamas and getting the hostages back, Secretary of State Marco Rubio.
We think we have a very short window of time in which a deal could happen. We don't have months anymore, and we probably have days and maybe a few weeks, so it's a key moment.
New UN report accuses Israel of committing genocide. The 22-year-old suspect in Charlie Kirk's murder is due in court in Utah. CBS's Carter Evans.
The alleged shooter is expected to make a virtual appearance in court from jail when those charges are filed today.
The Fed begins a crucial two-day policy meeting today. CBS's Jason Brooks.
Wall Street is expecting that the Fed will cut its benchmark lending rate for the first time in 2025 after pausing rates at all six meetings so far this year.
Fed Governor Lisa Cook will attend the meetings after a federal appeals court ruled President Trump cannot fire her. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WXCO News, I'm Isabella Nieto. Following the assassination of right-wing personality Charlie Kirk, Wisconsin lawmakers are again talking about their safety. Civic Media's Joanne Krulatz reports.
State Senator Howard Markline and Representative Tony Kurtz were on WRCO's morning show with Phil Need. Kurtz says the rhetoric needs to stop.
I think we do need to dial it down and get back to the basics of actually looking somebody in the eye and talking to them and saying, you know what, I disagree with you, but I still respect you.
Assembly Speaker Robin Voss remains confident in security arrangements at the Capitol in Madison. Voss noted that Kirk was killed in a public place, and Minnesota state lawmaker Melissa Hortman and her husband were killed in their home. Voss said the reality is that most political violence that has occurred has not been inside a government building. Markline says the Wisconsin state capitol is probably one of the most open state capitals in the country. He added, he likes the openness.
This is the people's capital. It's not mine, and it's not Tony Kurtz's. It's the people. So they ought to be able to, you know, come in and stuff. I hope we don't have to get down to a point where we're just locked down.
Other than a brief period following the 9/11 attacks, the public has always had unrestricted access to the Wisconsin Capitol.
The Wisconsin Underwater Archaeology Association announced yesterday the discovery of the long-sought wreck of the schooner F.J. King. The ship sank in a storm off of Bailey's Harbor, Wisconsin, nearly 140 years ago. According to a press release, 20 citizen scientists and community historians from around the Midwest participated in the search for the historic shipwreck. This is the fifth significant shipwreck located by the association in the last 3 years. I'm Isabella Nieto for WXCO News.
An update on Watson. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NFL, Packers receiver Christian Watson, recovering from a torn ACL, spoke to reporters. Wide receiver Jaden Reed is out for the next couple of months with a broken collarbone. So how close is Watson to returning to action?
Obviously, I got to get clearance from the, you know, the medical team and whatnot, but I've got to feel, you know, 110% confident, and, you know, I'm going to be able to go out there and be Christian Watson, not, you know, 90%, or I need to be 100% of Christian Watson before I get out there.
The Wisconsin Badgers team frustrated after their 38-14 loss in Alabama over the weekend. Head coach Luke Fickell asked, does he ever get mad at his players after a poor performance?
No, I just, you're always trying to say, okay, what's going to be the best, not for me, because it feels better sometimes to put your hand through a wall or put your head through a window, right? Yeah, that feels good at times. In the long run, I don't know what it does for us.
Baseball, the Brewers and Angels tonight at American Family Field. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
98.9 WXCO, Wausau's real news and great conversation, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
It is going to be mostly sunny today. Our high right around 83 this afternoon. The wind will be out of the south at only about 5 to 10. Tonight, partly cloudy, 61. Tomorrow, a few scattered thunderstorms, otherwise partly cloudy with a high of 82. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 58.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, a Fox host has to apologize after saying the homeless should be involuntarily executed. We'll talk about that with Todd Alba. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, home of the big high school sports show.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 7:06. Nice to have you back here up north on this Tuesday morning, September 16th. 7:06 right now, Parker Olson producing things down in Madison Studio A2. Eau Claire City Council President Emily Berge is standing by to talk about Derek Van Orden's threats to cut off federal funds to the city of Eau Claire. Also in our next hour, Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area and Cam Stevenson from Courier Newsroom, live from Capitol Hill. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot is back from her long weekend as well. Before we get to her, good morning from Tigerton, writes Rob. It's partly cloudy and 54 degrees. I was busy mowing 4 yards in Tigerton. It felt like July. It was hot. I drank plenty of water and Gatorade. Yesterday, someone or some people vandalized Tigerton's Union Cemetery, knocking down grave flowers, knocking the flowers off my mom and dad's gravestone. I had to go back and put those back up. He says in the Weather Almanac, yesterday in history, Wausau had a trace of snow on September 15th, 1959. He says he's got mowing jobs in Wittenberg. It's going to feel more like mid-July than mid-September. And he concludes by saying on YouTube in the comments section, welcome back to Wisconsin's best meteorologist, Brittany Merlot. Did you see the Northern Lights on Sunday night? Brittany's back after a long weekend. Well, you were busy having fun. Was it a good long weekend?
It was fantastic. But here's the thing. I was up north up until Sunday. That's when I left. So I missed the Northern Lights in the best spot possible. And I went down to see my sister. It was her birthday. So I was in Illinois while the Northern Lights were going on, where I had just been. So frustrating.
That's so unlucky.
I know.
That is very unfair. As you noted in your forecast, showers and thunderstorms early this morning in north central Wisconsin. And this morning, they developed in much the same way that they developed early yesterday afternoon, where it happened just east of the Chippewa Valley. So we could see the skies getting really dark, and yet we didn't get the rain because it was just firing up there. And now it's moved its way a little further to the northeast or northwest. Northeast. Compasses.
Yeah, so it's really interesting. It's firing up right on this exact little front in this little area. So it's not moving very fast. And right now it's pretty much over what Park Falls, Phillips.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Headed towards Tomahawk, Minocqua. You could see some heavy downpours, maybe some pea-sized hail with that, but nothing major. And then of course, we got chances as we go through the rest of this week, because all of this is firing up because of big low pressure system is stalled out in South Dakota, and it is going to be draping little fronts through the state and eventually moving its way through Wisconsin this weekend. So we do have wet weather here ahead of us. But first and foremost, I hope you've been enjoying the summery feel. It has been fantastic. A nice little second summer here for us. Temperatures once again will rise to the low to mid 80s, some upper 80s throughout the state as well today. Mostly sunny, still muggy out there. And then, of course, as we go through tomorrow, more scattered showers and storms could start to pop up in the early evening hours after we already have another hot, summery, sunny day. We'll be hitting 80 degrees across the state again tomorrow, nearing 90 in some spots. And then the cool down starts a little bit. That system starts to approach. We have a little bit more scattered, numerous showers and storms up north on Thursday. Temperatures slide to the 70s. Sunshine still hangs on down south. Madison, Milwaukee isn't looking at any rainfall really until about Friday and Saturday. That's when statewide widespread of fronts going to be pushing through, bringing some moderate to heavy rainfall potentially.
Just in time for the weekend.
I know.
Hey, we had a couple of good ones, so that's fine. Let's see. Robin Tigerton says, I'm going to send Brittany pictures of the Northern Lights.
Thank you, Rob.
Tony put it better when he said, moral of the story, don't go to Illinois. There you go.
I know.
Family first. Thank you, Brittany. Appreciate it very much. Hey, sign up for our daily newsletter. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe in the banner at the top of the homepage. You'll get our weekday version. You'll get a weekend version as well, where I have a question of the week, and I lay out four widely spread conspiracy theories by Ron Johnson. And I ask you, which one do you wish he'd just stop talking about forever? And because all of the above was not an option, people were not really happy at having to pick just one. Anyway, you can put anything in the comment section at YouTube or Facebook here through Up North News or through Civic Media. And again, sign up for our newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com. Let's talk now with Eau Claire City Council President and candidate for Congress, Emily Berge, who joins us now to talk about her congressman and the guy who apparently does not want to be congressman for the city of Eau Claire anymore. Emily, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm good. Now, I'm getting older. My memory is starting to fail, but this much I remember. When you got into the race, in part, it was because you were tired of Derek Van Orden essentially ignoring the city of Eau Claire and being downright hostile to it. I feel like he's decided to take that up a notch with a couple of different tweets yesterday, threatening federal funding for the city of Eau Claire because he didn't like what some city council members had to say in the wake of the Charlie Kirk murder. I'm betting that that's not sitting well with you, or probably shouldn't sit well with, 70 some thousand people in the city.
Yeah, I mean, the best predictor of future behavior is past behavior. And we have seen Derek Van Orden's bully tweets, the way he has treated me on the phone when I've tried to work with him, to serve our constituents, because we share the same constituency. The 74,000 constituents of mine in Eau Claire are his as well. And you're right, Pat, your memory's just fine. That is the main reason why I got into this race, because we deserve better in Eau Claire and throughout the whole congressional district.
Yeah, and that again is in the third congressional district, which is a lot of western Wisconsin and reaches into part of central Wisconsin as well. You're one of three Democrats in the race right now. The primary will be held in August of next year. And we spoke in the last hour about First Amendment protected speech and how it's one thing for a member of Congress to be obsessed with Twitter and to tweet out threats about wanting to get people fired or cut off their federal funding. But Van Orden's gone a step further now and has introduced a bill that would essentially allow government to, police your social media posts and cut off funding if they decide that it crosses some kind of a line with them. I can't imagine they would have supported this if it were a Democrat proposing it, if the tables were turned. And yet, I feel like Derek Van Orden either is missing the boat on the First Amendment or has other things he could be doing instead as a member of Congress for his district.
Yeah, I mean, Derek Van Orden's MO is riling people up and being a bully and not solving problems. So again, more of the same behavior. This legislature that he proposed, I read through it yesterday, last night, it's pretty ridiculous, the fact that it attacks our First Amendment rights. I mean, our whole democracy is based on our First Amendment and freedom of speech and how that's protected, even if people do not politically align with yourself. So yeah, the whole thing is just ridiculous and harmful to our democracy, to our constituents, and we deserve better.
Well, in terms of being a candidate for Congress, I want to hear more about how the campaign is going. And also to let people know that in about 20 minutes, we're going to be talking to Fred Clark, a former assembly rep, who's now living up in the Ashland Bayfield area and is working with a group that is trying to get that very expansive 7th Congressional District better connected so that voters there have a better idea of the issues at play, of the record of Tom Tiffany, of the alternatives that might be out there. The third isn't quite as big as the seventh, but it too is a rather sprawling district. Can you talk about what you've been doing as part of your campaign, even before Derek Van Orden ratcheted up the, you know, violent rhetoric?
Yeah, I've been, you know, we have 19 beautiful counties in the third congressional district, and I have been very busy traveling throughout the 19 counties. My goal is to meet all the people throughout the district, because I think it's really important to show up, meet the people where they're at, listen to what's going on, how this Trump administration, Derek Van Orden's actions are impacting them, because it is impacting them. And so it's important to hear from the people directly just how they're faring through this administration, and are they better off now than they were a year ago? The answer is no, by the way. And it's just, it's really important to get out there and boots on the ground, meet the people. I mean, that's why I love local government. It connects me directly with the people, and I'm just continuing my service that way. Well, and I believe, yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead, Emily.
Well, I think I met Fred Clark at the Jackson County picnic, so.
Yes. Yep. And again, just a very active person when it comes to getting people together and talking about issues. And that's the thing I want to conclude on is the issues. And again, we've touched on this. You've mentioned, you know, inflation is still an issue. China hasn't purchased a single soybean yet, not the $12 billion worth that they bought last year. So you've got farmers who are about to harvest a whole lot in Derek Van Orden's district who don't have a market for their crops. You have Affordable Care Act premium subsidies that are going to be expiring. You have the prospect of a government shutdown. If Derek Van Orden's not going to work on those, I mean, talk about what you would do to better prioritize these issues that face the families of the 3rd Congressional District.
Well, I mean, we need our representatives to work for us and to actually get things done and not attack our freedom of speech, right? That's number one. Actually do the work and not spend your day on Twitter or whatnot. So again, the issues that I'm hearing, healthcare is huge out there. People are really concerned whether if you're on Medicare now, the potential cuts, if you are on Medicaid, the cuts that will happen. Social Security, people are very concerned about that. And so creating actually a healthcare solutions, Medicare for all, I mean, people deserve healthcare no matter how much money is in their bank account, what jobs they have, who they're married to. So healthcare is definitely important to focus on. Housing is very important. We have a homelessness crisis. We have a housing crisis. It's not getting any better. It's getting worse. We need real solutions. Let's make it legal again for government to build public housing and to fund those housing units. And then water, you know, talk about agriculture. You know, our farmers are really concerned about, and rural and urban people are concerned about water quality. And this is an issue that cuts across all political divides, Republican, Democrat, young, old, urban, rural. People want to be able to drink their water and use their water. And again, there's different solutions there too. We could put, farmers are they're the greatest stewards of our land. And I think we can work with farmers to help protect our land and protect our water. And so putting things in the farm bill that really make that incentivize those practices. They're already doing a great job and just helping them. I think farmers in general, you know, we should have more farmers on our land, not less, and stop the privatization and the corporation farming, and let's allow farmers to feed their families and feed their communities. So lots of different issues, real things that I'm hearing out there. I'm asking people not only what are your concern about, but what are your solutions? Because the people who are closest to the problems have the best solutions. So that's how we're going to get things done.
Emily Berge is a candidate for Congress in the 3rd Congressional District, the president of the Eau Claire City Council, and looking to represent much more than the city of Eau Claire, but perhaps more so than the current congressman for Eau Claire and the 3rd Congressional District. Again, one of three Democratic candidates for a primary that will take place in August of next year. A long campaign trail ahead, Emily, and I really appreciate you taking some time off of your regular duties to tell us about recent events. Thanks for stopping in this morning. Have a great day.
Thanks, Pat. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much as well. And again, we will continue to talk through candidates in this race, especially in this particular district, the 3rd Congressional District, because, again, we have all of these real issues to deal with. And we have a congressman who's fixated on getting cities and companies to fire people because he doesn't like the words that they say. That's not how things work in this country. We will be talking, as I mentioned, to Fred Clark about the 7th Congressional District coming up in just a bit. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Old Falls Radio, WXCO.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Talk about overall mental health, how we cope with this nonstop overwhelming news. Tom, thanks for calling. What's up?
Nobody can do push-ups indefinitely. But bring this back to mental health, and suddenly we feel able to pound through this without taking any kind of a break. And it's just not the way that it works. So do any action that takes you away from whatever it is that you're stressing out. Go for a walk. Get a drink of water. Read a book.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Off of the strip, in the outskirts and in the fringes, in the corner, out of the grip. If you want me, you can find me left of center. Off of the strip, in the outskirts and in the fringes, in the corner, out of the grip. When they ask me, what are you looking at, I always answer, nothing much, not much. I think they know.
Good morning once again, everyone. The time is 7:23. Good looking start here this morning. Partly cloudy skies in downtown Wausau at our studios at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street. 59 degrees is the temperature. With Ian Welsh, I am Chad Holmes. I was going to perk it up a little bit, but I came across an article which kind of builds on what I was talking about in the last segment.
We could perk up in the next segment.
One thing that people need to realize as well, and I've noticed this recently, I'm not sure if you've noticed this as well, but when I go onto Facebook, there are so many stories that have false information in it.
Yeah.
And they're stories from pages that I do not like or subscribe to. Half of the stuff on the Facebook front page now are stuff that I've never said I want to see this stuff, but yet they keep coming at you. And so much of it is phony. There's these stories that talk about things that like Stephen Colbert has said or somebody else has said that never have been said. It's a lot of phony information that Mark Zuckerberg is putting down our throats right now. Well, yeah. In Elkhorn, Wisconsin, this Charlie Kirk situation has led to a lie and a lot of anger. Indeed. But there was a fake Facebook post that wrongly linked an associate principal to comments about the death of Charlie Kirk. This is according to WSAW.com. Elkhorn. I've been to Elkhorn. I did a football game in Elkhorn one time. But there was a fake post. And then there were 560 voicemails on the district main line. Jeez. Well, what happened was that there was a fake Facebook post linked to an associate principal at Elkhorn High School.
Okay.
And then people saw it, and then they started calling the Elkhorn School District and filling up the voicemail, 560. It said that the associate principal wrongly linked story that the associate principal never made these comments. It was just a fake posting.
Yeah.
Mm. It was just, again, there were a flood of messages, many of which were vulgar, calling for her to be fired, the associate principal. The associate principal spoke out over the weekend, said she did not make the post. The tech department at Elkhorn started looking into it, and the Facebook page belonged to an individual in another community.
I see.
The district said that the associate principal is well-respected by her colleagues. She's kind-hearted, goes all of her way to help kids, help families. But when folks there saw that apparently something was said bad about involving the Charlie Kirk situation, they all went off the deep end, put out vulgar messages, called on her to be fired, blah, 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 like I was saying earlier.
And no one even verified this information?
Of course not.
That's the main thing with social media right now is that, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but didn't Facebook used to have like fact checkers and verification on this on their content, and all of a sudden it just gets taken away and people start putting out all these stories and articles that aren't even true when people say certain things? It's like, where is the regulation, the verification?
Oh, we can't have checking. We can't have regulation. That's rules. You can't have rules out there. Except, when people like J.D. Vance and other Republicans say that people should be fired because they have the gall to actually say something that they believe.
The whole thing is just spiraling out of
And also, control. Facebook has to be held responsible in some of these
there
cases.
There has to be accountability.
They have to. I mean, they are getting super rich all the time. Mark Zuckerberg and the likes. And if you have a Facebook page right now, if you go there, look at the front page. Just scroll down and see how many of the postings are from accounts that you did not follow, mm-hmm. or you are not friends with, or whatever it may be. Because it seems to me that there are a whole lot of these out there now, and that's not right. And Zuckerberg has some sort of plan with this. And I just don't understand how he can get away with it. But again, don't believe everything you see online. Many of it is not true. But also, again, stop being the thought police.
Exactly.
Stop being the thought police out there. I mean, gee whiz.
You have to think for yourself instead of always listening into what everyone else has to say and not trusting your own, intuition. Like, it's okay to question things. It's okay to double check if something is true or false. It's just a blindly assuming that something is true just because it's on social media is wrong. I'm sorry, but it is.
The time is 7:29. Sun is shining. Temperature is rising. We expect one of the warmest days that we're going to see for the rest of the day, rest of the year today.
Oh, yeah.
We'll have more about that coming up. But right now, 59 degrees here in downtown Wausau. We will have the farm report coming up, and then back to a Pat Kreitlow. More Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. We'll be back coming up at 7:52 here for another WXCO Morning Report on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Matt Nair on air. 98.9 WXCO, Wausau's real news and great conversation.
And home to Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
Today, another chance for producers to sound off on proposed licensing fees that could impact your local livestock barn. I'm PM Yankee, starting you off before the opening bell on a Tuesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news, details on that meeting, and why you should listen in at least next.
At the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, they know your business has always been something special. Now you can let customers know it too, in an instant, with the red and yellow Something Special from Wisconsin sticker. Joining the program gives you access to supplier and distribution information, marketing support, and a community of like-minded Wisconsin businesses. Best of all, you'll let people know that your work is done with care, quality, and love. You've always been something special. Visit somethingspecialfromwisconsin.com to make it official.
Dairy producers across the nation, start your engines. The road to Madison leads straight to the World Dairy Expo 2025, where innovation, education, and global dairy connections await. Join fellow dairy producers, industry experts, future leaders, and the finest dairy cattle in North America when the dairy industry meets in Madison, Wisconsin, September 13th through October 3rd. Make the drive and be part of the dairy event of the year. World Dairy Expo 2025, the road to Madison starts with you. Map your trip today at worlddairyexpo.com.
Tressa Lacey is a beef producer herself and current president of the Wisconsin Cattlemen's Association. She says the proposed rules that will be discussed today at 1 p.m. could raise fees on local sale barns by as much as 1,700%. She said that's not good news for beef producers.
And depending on how these fees were passed through to producers from the markets, we'll probably expect some higher commissions. And so that's going to impact the profit that we make. For some of the larger producers, I could see that they would choose to ship their animals to other states to market them. But for smaller producers like myself, it's probably not very economical to ship, you know, less than 10 head out of state to be sold. So I'm not quite sure what we would do in regards to that.
Tressa Lacey, current president of the Wisconsin Cattlemen's Association. Public hearing number two taking place today at 1 p.m., both face-to-face and virtual at the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Meeting information available at the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection website or equitycoop.com. There will be an additional hearing tomorrow, also at 1 p.m. Yesterday, barrel cheese was unchanged. 40-pound block cheese gained a quarter of a cent, 161 and three quarters, while double A butter dropped 4 cents to 182 a pound. This morning, October Class 3 milk that goes into cheese is down a nickel, 1643. December corn's up a penny at 425. November beans up two right now at 1045, with July new crop wheat up a penny at 565 a bushel. There's a quick market update on a Tuesday. I'm PM Yankee.
98.9 WXCO, Wausau's real news and great conversation, and home to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
It is going to be mostly sunny today. Our high right around 83 this afternoon. The wind will be out of the south at only about 5 to 10. Tonight, partly cloudy, 61. Tomorrow, a few scattered thunderstorms, otherwise partly cloudy with a high of 82. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Susan Kearns from Milwaukee Film joins me to talk about a really sweet event. Then renowned Milwaukee-based singer-songwriter Trapper Shep joins me and shares his amazing music. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
We've got Brewers baseball on several stations across the Civic Media Radio Network. Brewers taking on the Los Angeles Angels. Pre-game coverage begins at 6:05 on several stations across the Civic Media Radio Network, civicmedia.us, to learn more about that. All right, we spent the past half hour talking in part with Emily Berge about the 3rd Congressional District and Representative Derek Van Orden not exactly being representative of the district. It's a sprawling district. It is sometimes tough for all the various progressives and moderates in all of those counties to get together. And at that point, people in the 7th Congressional District up north say, hold my beer, because you've got an even bigger district there. So much more sprawling, so much more of a challenge. But former State Assembly Rep Fred Clark is up to the challenge. He and others are putting together a new group that is meant to help people understand the issues at play in the 7th Congressional District up north. And Fred Clark is with us now. Fred, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Pat. Wonderful. Thank you. The sun's out and we're in the perfect period of a late summer, early fall.
Yes, we are. And, you know, you represented the Baraboo area for years in the Wisconsin legislature, and now you moved way up north. And you might be retired from the legislature, but you're hardly retiring from public service. And I know we might have mentioned this in a previous visit, but before we get into the whole Northern Alliance and everything else, why do you choose to stay involved even once you've changed zip codes and have a chance to just ignore all that political noise that's going on out there in the world?
Right. The din of what comes out of Madison or Washington isn't quite as loud up here, but I'll tell you right now, people are paying attention. And I just think, Pat, that we're in an extraordinary moment as a nation and in our region, both because of world events and because of what's going on right now with our federal government. So a huge source of concern from almost everyone I talk to, and that's part of the reason why I do stay involved.
Yeah. And well, on top of that, you've got representation in the 7th district through Tom Tiffany, who, like you and like me, we're all former state legislators. And Tiffany has now been the congressional representative. And while you don't hear nearly as much about him as Derek Van Orden, because he just can't shut his mouth or his keyboard, the fact of the matter is Congressman Tom Tiffany, along with the rest of the Wisconsin Republican congressional delegation, they all appear pretty much in lockstep with, you know, what the Trump agenda is and what it has been doing to their congressional districts.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was one of the reasons that we really did decide to become more active in organizing in the 7th Congressional District, because, you know, back in February and March, when Elon Musk was taking a chainsaw to the federal government with absolutely no oversight, huge amount of destruction there with firings and agencies ground to a halt. And then the big, beautiful bill that passed with so insufficient debate and lack of understanding of what was in it, that's only beginning to come to light now. And during all that time, Tom Tiffany was basically silent or absent. He had many, many requests for him to appear in public or to hold a town hall or talk to his constituents. And up until Tuesday of last week, he had not had a public event. So we learned a lot over the course of the summer, and we're trying to put that knowledge into action now.
Yeah. And basically, for folks who aren't familiar with the 7th Congressional District, it's not the entire northern half of Wisconsin, but it's mighty close. If you go down Florence County, Forest, Langlade through Indigo, and then down to Marathon, down to Wood and parts of Juneau and Jackson and Monroe, and then you start that triangle up the other way, go up through Clark County, Chippewa County, Barron County, Burnett County, basically that entire V, and then throw in Polk County and St. Croix County for good measure. That is the very large 7th Congressional District, one of, if not the largest congressional district east of the Mississippi River. Mm-hmm. And so there is this challenge of reaching everybody. I certainly know from having run in that district for Congress in 2012 that you have, sure, you have all of these county party. You have the state Democratic Party. Then every one of these counties has a county party. But then there are plenty of groups out there of people who don't necessarily want to belong to a political party. They have their own issues. They have their own priorities. And so, but they still want to remain active. And yeah, part of the challenge has been keeping all of these folks up to date with issues, with what their incumbent congressmen and legislators are doing, and maybe uniting around certain issues and maybe uniting around certain candidates. And that has led you and others to create something called the Northern Alliance of Wisconsin. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, you bet. And that really grew out of a couple of friends of mine up here in Bayfield County decided to quit griping about it. And we went on the road last summer and took trips to Merrill and Wausau and Woodruff and Anago and Marshfield and over on the western side of the district, Hudson and Spooner and Webster, and talked to Democratic and independent groups throughout that region in about 20 different visits. And that's what we heard over and over was a set of themes and concerns about healthcare and immigration and about the economic effects of this insane tariff war that nobody understands, and also a desire to be better organized. And it's just such a huge district that when we began to talk about a network to stitch all of that energy together, lots of heads would nod. So that's the whole purpose of the Northern Alliance, is to really bring those groups together and help share more information, best practices, and just share the energy.
And right now that group has a website up. It's a pretty simple one, northernalliancewi.com. Again, northernalliancewi.com. And you do have your first virtual event planned. And again, that's where technology is our friend. Because again, back in 2012, you know, a little candidate, Pat Kreitler, you just got in the car and you drove like crazy. And now, thanks to Zoom and other technologies, you guys are able to put on a virtual event that people throughout the 7th District can take part in.
That's right. We're spreading the word for that right now. It'll be a big Zoom call. And anybody anywhere in northern Wisconsin's welcome to join and learn about what we're doing. We're going to share some just information about what we learned over the course of the summer organizing this thing. Pat, we're going to hear from you. Thank you for being willing to be part of that. Talk a little bit about your experience and some of the history of organizing in this region. And then we're going to hear from some younger folks who are doing organizing in a different way that is really just a breath of fresh air, bringing younger people into local community issues where it's not just elections. It's about all the other issues that are important to quality of life in communities. And the durability of that is really important thing that we can learn about.
And by the way, when you mentioned younger people, which, you know, can you believe there's anybody younger than us? I mean, how is it that where did all this gray come from all of us? But anyway, my point being that that these younger folks, their ways of organizing and communicating are not what we grew up with. And yeah, that's a good thing, because again, the technology has advanced. The passions have changed. I mean, I'm early Gen X, and it's felt like our generational motto was apathy. And it's mm-hmm. so not the case now that they're making, you know, TikToks, they're making reels, they're posting stories and telling stories differently than we did. They're losing the jargon. They're getting much more, you know, real, if you will. Things aren't so slick and polished. They're much more at a grassroots retail level. And frankly, with a congressional district that big and with multiple expensive TV markets, it's this kind of digital communication that is really going to be key to stitching together an entire northern half of the state. So that has to be really encouraging to see that development.
Well, it is, and it's something that we need to grow. And a thing that we've heard often about, and this is some of the rap on traditional party politics, is that well, if, you know, Democrats would beat your door down for 2 months in September and October and tell you this is the most important election of our lifetime. And then we go away and you don't hear from us for a year. And a lot of people, that feels extractive. And what they want to do is find a reason to stay in organizing and in community throughout the year. And find your local issue. There's no shortage of them, but let's organize around that, and an election will be part of it.
I have heard that so much in recent years, that phrase, year-round organizing. And yeah, it's people who, again, understand the value of not making this simply transactional. I come to you at election season, you vote for me, and then I leave you alone. Well, it's not about leaving alone. It's about keeping conversations going, keeping engaged, keeping people informed on the issues. And the challenge here in the 7th Congressional District is you have an incumbent who obviously has access to funds and to media and everything, and can spread whatever kind of a message he wants. And, you know, how do you go about pointing out how much more he's adding to the national debt? How many more people are being kicked off of Medicaid? What happens when all of these public lands get sold off? It is so much more of a challenge that, you know, people go, why are you starting this early for 2026? Well, there are some of your reasons right there.
Yeah, absolutely. And Congressman Tiffany was on a town. His first public appearance was a telephone town hall on Tuesday of last week, along with Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy. And of course, the two of them complimented each other throughout the course of the hour, while promising that no one would be hurt by the gigantic cuts to Medicaid, just as one example. And we know that's not true. We know that Wisconsin's already bracing for a huge fiscal impact of those cuts. The rural healthcare system is already beginning to feel the strain of the changes that's going to force closure of clinics and ultimately lack of healthcare access for everyone. Just one example.
And I'll tell you, I was looking up the headline. I wanted to get it just right from Politico, the political magazine out in Washington, D.C. And here's the headline. The Rural Health Hunger Games are underway. States are scrambling for a piece of a $50 billion fund. But of course, it is unclear exactly how you qualify for that money unless Dr. Oz or Donald Trump, you know, happen to wave their hand and approve or disapprove of things. And they're making it sound like this $50 billion fund, when actually what it is there was a much larger cut to rural health care. And then they're putting $50 billion back in and saying, here, now you all compete for this.
Yeah. And it's, I heard someone compare this to, you know, if you told all the restaurants in your town that they couldn't serve a third of your people that live in the town, but we'll give you a couple thousand bucks just to stay open. Well, it doesn't make any sense. And the loss of coverage to people that need it is going to be felt in shorter lives, unhealthier lives, and ultimately more people in ERs relying on charity care.
Yeah, if you can even get to the ER. And so that, again, is the larger point, is that, you know, your Tom Tiffany's and others are going to be saying, look at this brand new $50 billion fund. And what they're not saying, and what we need more people talking about, is how that doesn't come near to making up that so much more than $50 billion was cut. And again, that's just for this one issue. And it's why the Northern Alliance came together. So to learn more about the group, maybe get on their mailing list, maybe sign up for the upcoming Zoom session, head to northernalliancewi.com. And like I said, I'm looking forward to being part of the event. And certainly a lot to be said here as well by former state rep Fred Clark, who's now helping organize the Northern Alliance with a team up in way up north, as I like to put it. Fred, thank you so much for visiting with us. Appreciate it very much.
You bet, Pat. Great to see you, and see you in a couple of weeks.
See you in a couple of weeks as well, Fred. Thank you so much. Still ahead, coming up in the next hour, we've got Dan and Cam Stevenson from Courier Newsroom, live from the nation's capital, and then Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area, talking about the latest in Wisconsin political news, including that ever-expanding race for governor candidate field. We'll be back.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Lakeland Care is proud to be named one of the top workplaces in Wisconsin for 2025. But what really sets us apart is our commitment to providing personalized support for frail elders and adults with disabilities. Our care teams go above and beyond to help our members live their best lives with dignity and independence. Interested in becoming a member? Visit your local Aging and Disability Resource Center to see if you qualify. To learn more, visit www.lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at hazeldenbettyford.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
On Wednesday from 6 till 8 p.m., it's the Big High School Sports Show on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. I'm Chad Holmes, joining former Wausau West High School head football coach Jason Foster and myself as we talk high school football. We'll look back at last week's action and look ahead to week 5 of the campaign. Plus special guests. At 6:30, we'll be joined by Merrill High School head football coach Jason Wodzinski. The Blue Jays come off a big win over Medford last week. Then at 7:06, it's our student athlete guest from DC Everest, senior running back Corbin Enzenroth. Enzenroth has run for more than 400 yards the past 2 weeks as the Evergreens defeated Wisconsin Rapids and Wausau West. It's the Big High School Sports Show, Wednesday from 6 till 8 p.m. on 98.9 WXCO, WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Louisiana versus Calais, C-A-L-L-A-I-S, could deal a death blow to the impact, the power, the capacity of the Supreme Court to decide Voting Rights Act cases. This is one of those times when the Supreme Court needs to hear from the public about the appropriate resolution of this major case that could compromise the Voting Rights Act going forward beyond Louisiana.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
And welcome back. It is the WXCO Morning Report here on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. The time is almost 7:53. Sun is shining here in north central Wisconsin. Again, we are expecting a very warm day. Right now, the temperature is up to 60 degrees. We expect highs in the lower 80s before all is said and done. In
fact, it's going to feel like the middle of July.
It's going to be warm, that's for sure. And it looks as though it's going to stay that way for much of the week. In fact, temperatures will be in the upper 70s. Actually, it'll be in the mid-80s tomorrow, and then the upper 70s on Thursday, and even on Friday night, the mid-70s. So if you're heading on out to see some high school football, either on Thursday night or Friday night, which we will have right here on 98.9 WXCO, It should be another evening where maybe you don't even have to wear the jacket. We're to the middle point of the high school football season. This will be week number 5
for 11-player football. That'll be exactly in the midway point of the year with 9 regular season games. For the 8-player teams like Newman Catholic, that means they'll be past the midway point of the campaign, playing their 5th game out of 8 regular season games. In fact, we have 3 games this weekend. Thursday night, Wausau East is at Mosinee in a Great Northern Conference showdown. I'll be at Mosinee for that one, starting with the pregame show Thursday night at 6:35, opening kickoff at 7 p.m. Then on Friday night, we have a doubleheader. I'll be at Tom Field as the Wausau West Warriors will take on Wisconsin Rapids Lincoln. Again, 6:35 for the pregame, 7 o'clock for the opening kickoff here on 98.9 WXCO and online. And on the Sports 2 stream of WXCO.fm and the Civic Media app, Newman Catholic is on the road at Marion Tigerton on Friday night. Tom Weaver will be in Marion for that one, starting with the pregame show at 6:40. Again, that will be live on the Sports 2 stream of WXCO.fm and the Civic Media app. That game will also air on a tape delay basis following the Wausau West game on 98.9 WXCO. So again, lots of high school football. 3 different games here on the station that is the only Wausau radio station that still provides live play-by-play of high school sports.
That's right.
Why do we do that?
It's because we are very, very proud to be the only local Wausau radio station that covers play-by-play action of high school sports.
Exactly right. So, and also, if you're somebody that likes the theater, yesterday, of course, we had a chance to talk to Chanel Vopel and Paula Hawkins, cast members of Hello, I'm Darlene. That opens this week at the Venega Black Box Theater at UWSP at Stevens Point. During the conversation yesterday, mentioned that there were limited tickets for the Sunday matinee. Well, that has now been sold out. So if you're somebody that wants to see this show, Home I'm Darling by Laura Waite with the Wausau Community Theater, you still have Thursday, Friday, and Saturday evening performances at 7 p.m. But if you want to see those shows, get the tickets early, because time is running out and tickets are running out. If you missed the interview, and also if you're looking for a link to get those tickets, you can get it at WXCO.fm. Go to the news section and look for yesterday's morning report. You can listen to the podcast, and then also during our in our show notes, if you click on the Monday, September 15th WXCO morning report, you'll have a link in the show notes to get those tickets as well. So take advantage of a great opportunity to see local theater Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 7 p.m. again, performed at the UWSP Wausau Black Box Theater. Home I'm Darlene by Laura Waite. In fact, next week you will be back on stage at the Grand Theater, correct?
Yes, I will. I will be a part of the Center Stage Band and Show Choir's annual a show that happens at the Grand Theater. This year's theme is hits from across the Atlantic, and the shows are next week, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. That's the 25th, 26th, and 27th. Shows will be at 7 p.m., and the shows are absolutely free. You can either get your tickets at the Grand Theater each night, and we also have other locations where you can pick them up as well. I will make sure to have more information about that in the later days.
And next week on Wednesday morning, we will have members of your group join us, give more information about the performances coming up, not this weekend, but next weekend at the Grand Theater in Wausau. So we'll find out more coming up next week here on the program as well. So it just continues, whether it is performances through the Grand Theater itself and Sean Wright and his group, or through local organizations as well. And this performance is like the big one for every year. This is like your annual big performance, correct?
Absolutely. The center stage rehearsal process actually starts at the beginning of the year. It starts up in January and goes until the end of September. So it is a 9-month process. A lot of hard work is put into it. A lot of vocal work and dancing as well as getting fundraisers. But you know, it's really all about a team effort, and every year it comes together, and every show always has something different to offer.
Absolutely.
This show is no exception, because There is a lot of great music in this show.
Absolutely. So make sure to note the dates and the times for that, and we'll have more again on that coming up next week here on this program. Coming up at 8 o'clock here in less than 1 minute, we'll have our top of the hour news update, news, weather, and sports. Then at 8:06, back to a Pat Kreitlow. They'll be talking to their Capitol correspondent from Washington, D.C. about what's going on politically. Dan Schaefer will be with the program later in the hour as well. We'll be back at 8:22, and among the activities in our next WXCO morning report, we will have our number for the day quiz with Ian. So that's all coming up here on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News special report. One of the biggest movie stars of all time, Robert Redford, has died. His agent says the 89-year-old died in his sleep at his home in the mountains outside Provo, Utah. Among Redford's biggest films, 1969's Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, 1973's The Sting, and he starred opposite Barbara Streisand in The Way We Were.
Everything happened so fast. Shoot it all in one day, live, on the air, everybody running around, a constant state of panic. You remember how it was in the radio.
All the President's Men, released in 1976.
All we've got are pieces. We can't seem to figure out what the puzzle is supposed to look like. John Mitchell resigns as the head of CREEP and says that he wants to spend more time with his family.
His credits also include The Sting. He founded the Sundance Film Festival. Again, Robert Redford dead at the age of 89.